Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. Is it Stop, Question, and Run for Mayor? City Council Speaker Christine Quinn and City Council have reached a deal on legislation to install an inspector general for the NYPD, as you just heard on the news there, drawing a strong reaction from Mayor Bloomberg and the New York Post, by the way. If you saw a newsstand, you couldn't miss that headline, Judas, this morning, referring to Quinn. The proposal is part of a package of legislation sponsored by Brooklyn Council members Brad Lander and Jumani Williams called the Community Safety Act. They join me now, both of them, to talk about what they see as the IG's role and the politics of Speaker Quinn embracing their bill. Welcome back to the program, Council members Lander and Williams. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Brad Lander, what's the role of the Inspector General? Why is this on the table in the first place?
Absolutely. You know, Inspectors General are a valuable and standard feature of good government. Almost every other New York City agency has one. Department of Education, Parks, Housing, Fire, all federal agencies and law enforcement agencies, the CIA, the FBI, and almost all the other big cities have some form of Inspector General or independent police oversight. With multiple controversies, as Speaker Quinn said, and we're very pleased to have her support, undermining the NYPD's credibility in too many communities across the city and undermining morale within the department itself, this is a real important moment to address the longstanding need for independent oversight of the NYPD. And we believe that an inspector general will restore trust, improve police procedures, protect civil liberties, and improve public safety.
Councilmember Williams, is this really independent oversight? Wouldn't this be part of the executive branch of government, which means the mayor himself or herself would get to appoint this inspector general?
So we made sure that we crafted this legislation within the powers that are granted to us in the city council. In order to do that, there were some things we had to do, and putting under the DOI makes it perfectly legal and something that we can do. And the city council has the ability to help appoint the commissioner, but it will be the commissioner that would do this job by putting this, if you call it an inspector general, whatever entity you call it, it would be under them. But I do also want to thank the speaker for her leadership on this, and she's been doing this for over a year. It's not, people are acting as if this just came about, and that's just not true. The mayor is doing what he can to make it political, but it really is not a political issue, and it's part of a larger package that we believe will help make the NYPD more accountable. And the arguments from the mayor's office have gone from things we disagree with to things that are just absolutely untrue and make no sense. This notion about two commissioners and we don't know who to listen to, I believe our NYPD are pretty intelligent enough to know that they listen to the commissioner and the mayor. And this entity only provides recommendations, has no legal standing at all. So it's just craziness.
Well, if an inspector general is there and can second-guess policies of the NYPD, why isn't it a little bit like two commissioners?
So, you know, we have inspectors general, as I said, at the housing department. No one ever said we had two housing commissioners or then IG for the health department the same. What inspectors generals do, they perform investigations to help ensure agencies are following the law. They identify waste, fraud, and abuse. When agencies are following the law, when things are going well, their reports say everything here is on the up and up. The public can have a lot of confidence. When inspectors general find opportunities to improve, they issue corrective action recommendations that go to the commissioner, that go to the mayor, that go to the council. But ultimately, in all those agencies and in the NYPD, when the inspector general is there, it's up to the commissioner, it's up to the mayor to set policy. This is an opportunity to see problems and try to improve them. And I think, as Councilmember Williams says, it's really silly to be so hyperbolic in opposition to the idea of getting a corrective action report, as though somehow it's dangerous to know what we're doing, to see where the flaws are. I feel like an agency that's following the law's got nothing to hide. An agency that's willing to try to get better through thoughtful recommendations can only improve. The only agency that would fight so hard against an inspector general when so many others have them seems to me to be someone that doesn't want to have the light exposed.
So that's all great in the abstract. How does this relate to the actual contentious issue of the day, which is stop and frisk? Do either of you think that if there had been an inspector general in the last few years, that that would have brought a different kind of commentary from that office and a pressure to change policy on stop and frisk?
So just remember that this is a package of legislation, and there's been a lot of information about the inspector general, but this is a package of legislation, and we think that package together is what provides some assistance with dealing with stop, question, and frisk, but not just that, overall trust with the police department. Stop, question, and frisk is the most palpable issue, along with some of the Muslim surveillance. Those are palpable issues, but there's an underlying problem of mistrust and the way the NYPD deals with different communities. And to answer your question directly, I believe if there was an inspector general, perhaps there would have been a report earlier that this was a problem that we may want to look into. Of course, the mayor and the commissioner could have ignored it like they have been doing. But when you have someone else that's not from either of the sides, so to speak, but someone else who's independent looking at these things, what it does is gives opportunity to say something might be wrong and here's a way you can fix it, and also say, let people believe that someone is looking out for their best interest, and when the NYPD says something, it might provide another layer of trust. And what they keep saying is that there is a oversight. The problem is none of the things that they mentioned are proactive. They're all reactive, and they generally go case by case, and you also need an amazing amount of resources to bring someone to court, to bring it to the DA in a fashion that makes sense. And again, it's reactive, it's not proactive, and it's case by case. We need a proactive approach, and we need something and some or someone who will look at this as a holistic approach.
We're talking to City Council members Jumaane Williams and Brad Lander of Brooklyn, who have their Community Safety Act bill, which includes an inspector general for the NYPD, embraced by City Council Speaker and mayoral hopeful Christine Quinn this week, drawing this response from Mayor Bloomberg.
We cannot afford to play election year politics with the safety of our city, and we cannot afford to roll back the progress of the past 20 years. Make no mistake about it, this bill jeopardizes that progress and will put the lives of New Yorkers and our police officers at risk.
So, listeners, we have time for a few phone calls on this. Your questions about this, your opinions about this, police officers, community members, anybody, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Councilmember Lander, the mayor there, said we cannot afford to play election year politics with the safety of our city. What is the political history here with respect to the speaker? Councilman Williams said this is not new, but did the speaker always support this inspector general provision, or did she previously oppose it and just this week change her position?
Well, the inspector general bill was only introduced last summer, which is a few months ago, but in the legislative process, not all that long. She had not previously taken a position on it when we introduced it last summer. She said she would take a look at it. And I really do think, as Jumaane said, it's the mayor that's introducing the politics here. The Floyd trial is on this week around stop, question, and frisk, and that has called a lot of attention again to these broader issues. But this is something with a much longer history. I mean, yes, in part this is about stop, question, and frisk. In part this is about the surveillance of Muslims. In part this is about the allegations of quotas and crime statistics downgrading that come from police officers themselves. But, this goes back much longer. There's decade-long concerns that come from the Knapp Commission, the Mollin Commission, long before Ray Kelly. When you've got so much power concentrated in one place, you need some independent oversight. And
these debates come up from time to time. I remember
absolutely.
A few decades ago now when the Civilian Complaint Review Board was contentious and mayors were trying to stop that because they didn't want the police department to be handcuffed, and the CCRB has existed for a long time. People say it's too weak to make much of a difference. But I don't want to let the politics drop, because the head of your body, the city council, is a primarial candidate. She must have known that this was going to make these kinds of headlines. Have either of you endorsed in the mayoral race? And does this make you any more likely to endorse Speaker Quinn for mayor if you haven't? Councilmember Williams?
Well, just to add to what Brad was saying, just about every 20 years, we do have this uproar in the police department, whether it's the Marlin, whether it's the Knapp. We're just around that time where some of the constructive things that happened in previous commissions start to run its course, and there needs to be something else. And so what we're saying is, instead of doing these commissions every 20 years, let's have someone that can proactively provide some of that oversight. I have not endorsed in the mayoral race at all. I'm really focused on what I'm doing, particularly with the Community Safety Act and some of the things that are going on in my district as of now.
Did you and the speaker or her people discuss endorsements in exchange for her support on this?
I have never had any conversation with the speaker or any of her people about endorsements.
Brett Lander, same question.
Same thing. I haven't endorsed in the race. The dialogue with the speaker and her staff about the Inspector General bill and the Community Safety Act have all been about the substance and merits of the bill and how we can get better policing, safer communities.
Ben in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Brian. It seems to me that there are numerous agencies, and as you mentioned, the Civilian Complaint Review Board, that does a similar issue. If the CCRB isn't working for bigger picture issues, and I feel like it's a waste of resources to continue as it is, and it should either be revamped to include this new function or perhaps abolished. Our budget is not unlimited.
Councilmember Lander, CCRB irrelevant if there's an IG?
Well, the Inspector General set up to do something different. The CCRB and the Internal Affairs Bureau in the police department look at individual cases of police misconduct or fraud or abuse. The goal here is to get at some of the policies we've been talking about, stop and frisk, Muslim surveillance, quote, potential use of quotas or crime statistics downgrading. And there's nobody right now who looks at those things. IAB's inside the police department. They're not going to do it. CCRB can only take individual cases. And so the big issues of the day, there's nowhere where to go on them. And we're not talking about that much money. Most of the police departments around the country have something like this. The average cost is $2 or $3 million, which is not nothing, but in the context of a $70 billion budget for the city of New York, protecting civil liberties, improving police-community relations, and ensuring transparency is well worth it.
Councilmember Williams, in your opinion, is it a coincidence that this comes up now, just after the Kamani Gray shooting?
Well, I guess to have to say that, to provide some kind of pretending that this is all about politics, you would have had to have planned the Floyd trial and know that it was coming out now. You would have had to plan what's happening with Kamani Gray and know that it was happening now. And none of that was planned. I think it makes it more more urgent, but I don't think it was planned that way. And what's happening with Kamani Gray, tragic, and I've been letting people, just reminding them that it's not about the details of just one shooting. It's about the years and patterns of practice and some of the things that Brad had talked about earlier.
But your answer suggests that the timing of this deal and Speaker Quinn coming to this deal was planned for now. Was it?
No, it was not. It was not planned. I said, if in order to do that, you'd have had to know all those things, and there's no way you could have known that somebody was going to get shot. There's no way you could have known when the Floyd trial was going to come in. So there was no pre-planning when this was going to happen. We introduced it. That means we would have been part of the plan because we're the ones who introduced it last year. And to be honest, this type of controversial bill normally doesn't get through so fast. And so I'm excited that the speaker has worked on this so quickly. And from the beginning, once it's been introduced and she said she'd look at it, she's done everything that she said she was going to do, and the negotiations have always gone really well.
John in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. You know, this Inspector General is in other cities. It's cities like, I think, Chicago, I think Miami, New Orleans, and Los Angeles. All cities with higher crime rates than New York City, and even Chicago's got five times the crime rate per capita, and they have like a quarter of the people that New York City has. So it's not working in these other cities.
We have at the same time a tweet from a listener named Robert that says, oh, yeah, Chicago's IG system works great. So, Councilman Lander, how do you respond to either of those things? A shout-out to Chicago's Inspector General system, which somebody says works great, and John on the phone who says, well, Chicago has this, and they have a lot worse crime than New York.
So, you know, I think our point is this is a standard good government feature. Every other New York City agency has it. Does the mayor think the housing department's failing? Does he think the schools are failing? Does he think the health department's failing? Does he think the fire department is failing? If he's against inspectors general, he's going to have a lot of work to do. And I think it's a little tired, honestly. Anytime someone criticizes just about anything in the Bloomberg administration, somehow you become responsible for every crime that the mayor says might have happened. And I just – there's there's no good argument that inspectors general cause crime or increase the crime rate, because they're there to conduct audits and investigations and make sure policies are being as effective as they possibly can. Hopefully we could get better. We're thrilled that the murder rate is down in New York City. Let's look at the ways we can make it even stronger.
Councilman, you mentioned the Floyd trial. That's the federal constitutional challenge to stop and frisk on Fourth Amendment search and seizure grounds. My understanding is that the remedy that that suit is asking for is independent oversight of the NYPD. So if this Inspector General bill does in fact go through and New York has an Inspector General for the NYPD, does that nullify the claim in that case? Does that satisfy the claim in that case and the whole thing becomes moot?
Well, one, just to add to something Brad was saying, nobody has claimed that Inspector General will be the one to decide whether the crime is not connected to crime. I think they're trying to make some connections that just simply aren't there, and so it's not a good equal to. And in addition, some of the places they mentioned have had drops in crime, maybe not Chicago, but there are places that have had larger drops in crime, even though we are the lowest, by percentage rate. Mm-hmm. They've had lower drops in crime, and people sometimes don't mention that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it satisfies what they may be looking for as a remedy. I think it's would be a good start, again, along with the entire Community Safety Act, which the negotiations are still going on. They may be looking for something that's not associated with any of the agencies. But as we mentioned, our bill is crafted wonderfully by wonderful attorneys on both sides to make sure that it will be able to pass muster to make sure that is legal for the city council to do.
And Councilman Williams, just one thing before you go, since you were so involved in the aftermath of the Kamani Grace shooting, trying to end the violence and asking Commissioner Kelly about it, are the nightly protests over around this shooting? Is the threat of rioting over?
The threat, so people, whatever you want to call it, rioting, protesting, rebellions, uprising, there is a threat that the anger will bubble over at any time, particularly when you have people who don't even want independent oversight. They refuse to acknowledge the problem. They double down in State of the District with quadruple down, I should say, with stop, question, and frisk. The commission just wants to dismiss it as disturbance. They don't want to address it. And then when there are things that can address it logically, they try to smash it down. So the threat is always there when you have an administration that won't even admit that there's a problem. We are hopeful that we're going to have a few nights of continued calm protest that is constructive. It may increase the next few days as the wake and the funeral is coming. So we ask everyone, we want to make sure we hear our voices out. We want to make sure young people hear their voices, but we're going to do it in a calm, peaceful, and very constructive way.
On the terminology, since you brought it up, I believe you called it a riot last week, objecting to people who called it a disturbance. I thought riot was seen as an insult to the community, like when people referred to the old L.A. riots, community leaders preferred uprising. So why did you embrace the word riot?
Because it really, the word, except for disturbance, which is just dismissive, except for that, the word to me didn't really matter. I wanted to describe the anger. And it was, as I said, it was Dr. King who said, riots are the language of the unheard. And he was referring to the same type of thing. Actually, it was even worse back then. And it wasn't a condoning of it. It was just an admission that we need to listen to the unheard people so it doesn't get to this destructive way. And you can't condone the language that they're using, but we can't condone ignoring it either. So to me, the terminology was less important than the anger that's being ignored.
City Councilman Jumaane Williams, City Councilman Brad Lander, Brooklyn co-sponsors of the bill that includes an inspector general for the NYPD, now endorsed by Speaker Christine Quinn. It looks like this bill will pass with a veto-proof majority over the mayor's objections. Thank you both for coming on.
Thank you. And the negotiations haven't finished, so the Community Safety Act is a package, so we're not sure where we are on that as yet.
Do you see any other sticking points?
Well, we want to make sure that we talk about all of the bills, and profiling is very important to us. That gets to some of the issues that are going with stop, question, and frisk. So we're happy that this one bill seems to be some broad consensus, but, you know, the package, including profiling, that still has to be discussed before anything would move forward.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for inviting us.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC. Coming up next, what's left of gun control in Washington now that the Feinstein assault weapons ban was defeated? And then ask a bioethicist this week about personal neuroenhancements, like when is it ethical to chemically alter our brains for high performance? Stay with us.